Hello, welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. I'm Raquel Williams, and here with us today are two nurses from JFK University Medical Center's Women and Children's Services, who will highlight a few programs available for mothers and families, including a new mother support group and a new grandparents class. Sarah Muller-Robbins is a registered nurse, lactation consultant, and lactation coordinator at Hackensack Meridian Health JFK University Medical Center. Also with us is Laura Kelly, who is also a registered nurse and lactation consultant. She's also perinatal education coordinator at Hackensack Meridian Health JFK Medical JFK University Medical Center. Thank you both for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
JFK Medical Center, of course, is rated in the top 10% of hospitals nationally for clinical excellence in labor and delivery. Their maternity and family suite of services helps prepare expectant parents for their new journey. Specifically, trained nurses are on hand to care for both mother and infant as a family. And together with her nurse, the mother makes decisions about her care and prepares mother for her new role and allows for the opportunity to learn how to care for her baby. Let me first say that every mother remembers that special nurse or teams of nurses who help them with what's probably the most miraculous time in her life. So no matter how many times she experiences childbirth, it is just as heartwarming and miraculous. So first, thank you both for the work that you do. Now, we'll get into the programs for moms and families in a moment, but first, let's discuss your experiences as lactation consultants and why you do what you do. Sarah, let's start with you. What would you say is the most rewarding part of your role at JFK?
Well, what I love about my job is often we come to parents when they first become parents, and it's exciting, but it is also can be anxiety provoking, and parents will have a lot of questions and can be nervous about what, you know, their new role they're taking on. So what I do love is seeing them right after delivery and seeing, you know, just learning how do I hold my baby, how do I change a diaper, to when they go home, and just seeing the competence that they have and that they are the experts on their babies and they're going home, and we want them to feel like they're the ones who are in charge. They know their baby more than anyone else. And just see that rapid growth and development as parents and to be able to help them along the journey is really rewarding.
I think that the work that I do at JFK when parents come in is so rewarding to me because for many times I see them in classes ahead of time. It's really nice when you start a journey with a family and they've come to you for prenatal education, which is many of the classes that I teach, and then I'm able to see them when they arrive on the unit to have their baby and to see how they really benefited from the education prenatally and that they can collaborate with the care of their baby. And as Sarah said, it's very rewarding to see the follow through. And to know that what we're doing to help guide these new families on their journey to parenthood is really fulfilling for them. So I think that's one of the best parts of my my day here.
You guys have some of the best jobs, I have to say. I remember my I remember my experiences. It doesn't get old, but it's just such a wonderful and scary time at the same, you know, at the same time. And it helps to have a supporting staff. Now, when a mother comes into labor and delivery, she's in no doubt reeling with all kinds of emotions. What can she expect from the staff on her big day?
I guess I could answer that. I think what she really wants is just that expectation that right now that she's safe, that she's going to have caregivers that are knowledgeable and very experienced in their field, which she will have. The duration of experience of years of all the staff really here at JFK really plays into that. And just that caring smile and that comforting touch, because like you said, labor and delivery of a newborn is a big change in a mother and a family's status here. And knowing that we're here and they're at their most vulnerable state, I think that security and that just that caring smile and compassion goes a long way.
It sure does. So let's talk about the new mother support group. Sarah, why do new moms enroll in this?
Yeah, there's many different reasons why they come. Some mothers will enroll in the group because they have a specific question, whether it's about feeding their baby or change in sleep patterns or even child development, that they just want to run it by other mothers and see, is this normal? Is it not? You know, what can I do about this situation? And a lot of mothers might come for a question, but they stay because they get to know other mothers and they get that support. And I think, you know, motherhood can be very isolating, even before the pandemic. And so we don't all live in communities like maybe our ancestors did. We're not surrounded by other women who can really support us as adjusting to this new role. So finding a place where you can go and you can talk about your experiences with other people going through the same thing at the same time really makes a huge difference. And I think it really can help with the adjustment to motherhood.
Has enrollment at all increased due to COVID-19?
It has. You know, when in March, when we learned that we had to shut down all our classes, all our groups, everything that parents would come to the hospital for, Laura and I both knew that we couldn't just stop it altogether. The families needed us, needed these programs more than ever. I found even before the pandemic that anxiety levels for new moms were really high. And so the group was very helpful. So I was concerned, as Laura was too, that we need to make sure we're still there for them. So we immediately moved to a virtual platform. We had the support of our administrators to be able to have a virtual group online. I was a little bit concerned, are we still going to be able to have that group setting, that support? But it actually has been even better attended than before. And part of me wondered why I didn't start this earlier. So for mothers who are 1 week postpartum, who had a C-section and just traveling to the hospital is not practical, or maybe they have some older children and it is difficult to get out of the house, this has been a really wonderful way for them to connect right from their own home on their phone, on their tablet or the computer. So our enrollment has actually increased since the pandemic started and we went to a virtual platform.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. And now, do you see live sessions coming back on the horizon?
I don't know when that would happen, and I don't see it happening anytime too soon, but I'm hopeful that someday when life gets back to somewhat normalcy, that we can have live sessions. But I do imagine that we might continue having virtual groups in addition to live sessions, because it is so convenient for the families. Even have had mothers who have gone back to work, and they'll log in during their lunch break, or if they're pumping at work, they'll log in to say hi to the moms. But you know, there is something about not being able to see each other in the same room, not being able to give each other a hug, which you do miss with the virtual classes, or the virtual group. So I think maybe some combination of it may work in the future as we continue.
I'm thinking about things in terms of breastfeeding and motherhood in general. So often people think that, you know, motherhood and everything that comes along with it should just come naturally. Why would you need a support group? Why would you need help, you know, breastfeeding? But in fact, new mothers do need help and they do need support. What are some of the things that moms get out of the group?
They do. And, you know, I think having in the group, we have moms with babies as young as a week, and we have mothers with babies who are a year and sometimes even a little bit older. And so to have that change, that variety of ages of the children allows for one mom with a question can talk to another mom who recently went through the same thing or went through the same developmental stage, and she can really give advice. But then they've also connected, you know, so many of the moms come back again and again, and they've gotten to know each other. They've connected offline. Some of them, when they felt comfortable, would even meet in the park and go for a stroller walk with their babies. So they're able to find that connection. Even though it's virtual, they're being able to find real friendships and relationships outside of the group, which is so important for adjustment to motherhood.
Yeah, I could see how that would be helpful. What has been what you would say a challenge for you as the facilitator for the group, Laura?
So I think it can be a challenge online when you can't give a hug for a mom who's really struggling. But it's still, and you know, one of my personal challenges is a lot of times if the mom goes back to work and I know we're not going to see her again, it's kind of like, it's sometimes hard to say goodbye, but we're grateful that they always keep in touch. They send us pictures and so of their babies. So it's we still can keep that connection. And sometimes I've had a few moms who've come back with their second baby or their third baby. So we get to see them again. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, has the pandemic at all impacted the adjustments that new mothers have to make, that transition into motherhood?
It has. You know, for all new parents, it's going home with a new baby can lead to anxiety, postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression. And then you add a pandemic where it's just scary to leave the house. And many families find they're socially isolated. And, you know, one of the topics that has come up a lot in the group is, when should I be comfortable letting my own mother hold my baby? When can I go visit a friend? Mm-hmm. You know, am I putting my baby at risk of this? So having other people, I don't think, and what they often talk about is, no one knows what it's like to have a baby in a pandemic, except for those who have done it. So having other people to share that anxiety with. And the other thing that I really appreciated, a lot of moms have been open about talking about their mental health and the struggles they have and how they sought therapy, how they resolve their issues, which give other mothers that kind of opening to be able to get the help and support that they need, which is so important, not only for the mom, but for child development and for the family as a whole.
Right. I think that attitudes, well, maybe you can tell me, attitudes about postpartum depression probably have changed over the years, basically because there's more education about it. People understand that it's completely normal. It's completely natural. And if a mother is feeling, you know, a little anxiety or feeling a little sad right after birth, it's okay to voice that and, you know, get the help that is so needed.
Yeah, definitely. And there's, you know, a lot of the mothers, of course, on social media, which can, you know, in some ways mess with your head, you know, say, everyone else looks so happy. Why do I feel this way? So to have a safe space where you can have this conversation and be real, I think it's so important for new parents.
Now, before delivery, there are a variety of classes and support groups, of course, as we told you, for the expectant mother and their families. One is the grandparent class. Now, Laura, what do you find is the most common reason that grandparents enroll in a grandparent class?
The grandparenting class here really has taken on many different changes over the past couple of years that I've been involved in the program here. Many of them call me and they see that we're, you know, one of the facilities that do have the program, and they just want to get an update on changes that have happened. You know, babies don't change. However, like what we found with evidence with different caring for them and different ideas, grandparents know that things have changed and they just want to be up to date on different things and caring techniques. And I think that's one of the reasons. You also have that a lot of the families, a lot more younger couples are waiting to have kids. So as they are waiting, because they have been, you know, having kids again later in life, the grandparents at that point are getting older and so many things have changed. So I think that's one of the big factors. They just want to be up to date, and maybe their son or daughter said, okay, you know, you need to go to a class to get some new information. So I think that's really the gist of why they're enrolling.
I think it's good that you're finding that a lot of grandparents are actually open to this. I'm wondering, in, you know, private discussions, are there discussions going on the side like, you know, come on, mom, things have changed. Things are not exactly the same as when you were bringing me up. This class could really help you since you're going to be helping me. And, you know, maybe you can brush up on some things that you don't know about.
Exactly. And our classes here, the expectant couple can also attend with the grandparent. We offer that option. So oftentimes it's nice because you have that couple and then you have the grandparents. And then, you know, sometimes they'll also step out of the room, like let's say to go to like the coffee shop while we're conducting class. And then you do just have the grandparents. So it's kind of it's a little, you know, different role sometimes that everybody's taken on during the class. So, and as we have moved forward, it was a little bit of a challenge with the virtual platform. We have a new class that's going to be coming up in December, where we're going to go with the virtual platform because of the fact that we haven't, as Sarah was saying earlier, we had to switch to a new platform for the classes. I've had a need now that the grandparents, we haven't conducted one, but we are going to launch it in December again, and it's going to be virtual because I have gotten numerous calls now from grandparents in the community asking, oh, are you running the class? Are we having it? I was a little taken back because I didn't think that so many grandparents were up on the technology of these virtual classes,
right.
But they are. So I was quite impressed. So we're going to start them again. But in the past, they've really been benefited by so many, and they really enjoy it.
Tell me about the layout of the class. If you can just bring us into one of the classes for a moment, I'm curious. How exactly does it work?
What happens is it's always an introduction where everybody introduces themselves, and as much as they want to, put out there to the other grandparent couples at the class, and also the expectant families, just some basics of when the new grandchild is due. Is this first time grandparenting, or has it been many years? How many children they've had of their own. Sometimes they'll even come up with, they'll reflect on different things in raising their own children and how, they want to be of a little bit of a different guidance this time around as a grandparent. Also, we've had in some classes where grandparents are going to be taking on the role of the sole caregiver for various different reasons with their own child that they know that, let's say, they will be totally raising that grandchild. So, it depends on that situation. And then basically, it's kind of the facilitator and that kind of comes out with, well, what do you expect out of the class itself? And we do have a curriculum and format that we go over changes in hospital care. Many things have happened from years ago that are different, environmental settings. Like years ago, if you had a normal birth, a vaginal birth, some of the grandparents had stayed in the hospital for 5 days. Now our moms go home very quickly.
Right.
They're home within 2 to 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's changed. Another situation is the philosophy of rooming in, where there is a holding area nursery, but we know from evidence that we don't want to separate mom and baby. So babies do remain with their moms and the families in the rooms. Of course, safety is always a priority of mom and baby. There's always that holding area that babies can go. However, it's actually to their advantage. So some grandparents' advantages to stay with their moms and support person. So that's a big challenge sometimes of the grandparents, because years ago, this did not happen. And then we kind of go over a lot about safety of the newborn and just handling, burping, and the basics, again, the diapering and all of that. But that's basically the curriculum and just some safety features. Another big factor that I always kind of laugh when is the grandparents with, the car seats and different things, because years ago, we didn't have car seats for babies. It's only been the past, 30 years, actually, that now. So these are things that are different.
Now, with the virtual classes that you're going to be forming for the grandparents, that's going to be starting, I'm sure that's going to make things a little different. Grandparents, of course, they're in an age where we're all concerned when it comes to COVID and babies and moms and everything. So I'm assuming this is really going to affect the format.
Yeah, I think it will, because I think a lot of questions will reflect on the pandemic and with COVID, and can I see my grandchild? Is it going to be safe initially, especially with the newborn coming home? That's always a question that I receive now at the office here from new parents ahead of time, and we discuss it at all of our classes here. But the grandparents themselves want to, be sure that they are safe. And that's going to be a topic that, the latest evidence that we know that we can provide to them about, usually we advise the self-quarantine 2 weeks before the new baby, and that way we know that they are safe and that way that they can see their baby. But those are things that the actual mother and father of the baby are going to feel comfortable with. As Sarah said, that's a big question that comes up in the support group. That is a little bit of anxiety for parents. And then think about the grandparents that are so anxious to see that first grandchild. So I'm sure that this is going to be encountered. And sometimes just that support of others and knowing that, okay, it's okay, I'm okay, I'm going to, I'm safe to see my grandchild. It's reassuring.
All right. Well, since I have two lactation consultants on the line with me, I can't help but ask you a couple of questions about breastfeeding. Let's talk about that for a minute. Sarah, let's start with you. What do you think? Have attitudes about breastfeeding finally evolved over the years?
They have. And I think not only for the parents who come to give birth, but also within their families and communities. We have a lot of, when I see it, well, back when the grandparents could be in the room when we had a lot of visitors, but I'd have the older generation say, I never had anyone like you to help me when I gave birth. Mm-hmm. And so there is, and most mothers who do come really want to give breastfeeding a shot. And so and since we are now a baby-friendly designated hospital, that we have the support services there in the hospital to help her meet her goals. So I think that a lot of families do come in wanting to breastfeed and wanting to learn as much as they can about it.
Laura, what would you say is the most common fear when it comes to breastfeeding and new mothers?
I think from the reflection of our classes on prenatally, the biggest fear is, is it going to be painful? Unfortunately, it's still out there that breastfeeding, there's going to be painful experiences. And I think by them coming to classes, learning a little bit about it ahead of time, and then coming into the hospital, as Sarah said, when they have that lactation support and help, and knowing that, you know, if we kind of set them up right from the beginning with good education and good support, oh my gosh, this isn't as painful as my, let's say, sister-in-law or friend told me.
Right.
You know, there are some challenges as expected with anything, with being a new mom. So it's not only breastfeeding. So I think knowing that somebody's here and helping with them and knowing that, that's usually the biggest challenge. And once they actually take that sigh of relief, like, oh my gosh, this is okay. You know, it's going to work for me. So I think that's a very big factor.
You know, I brought up earlier that, you know, people think that everything concerning motherhood should just completely come naturally. And, you know, I learned pretty quickly that that is not the case. And one of the fears I know some mothers have, I know I had that, and some anxiety over it was, you know, is my baby going to get enough? Is there going to be enough milk? Am I going to be able to do this? Can I do it long enough? Because, you know, the society will tend to judge you either on both sides of the coin. You have people judging you about that. So mothers, I guess, tend to be concerned about, you know, are they going to be able to be successful at breastfeeding?
Yeah. Our goal is to, you know, as lactation consultants, not to tell them how to feed their baby and that they need to do this or need to do that, but that to give them all the information so that they can make an educated decision that's the best choice for them. And then to give them the resources for success. So that means, you know, really giving them education, how to know when the baby is getting enough and what to do if you have these signs that the baby's not. And then we also give them resources for after they go home that they can log into the support group, give us a call. We'll refer them to other resources in the community for more help. Because, and as I tell them that if it was easy and this always went naturally, I wouldn't have a job. That it's difficult. And, but we, you know, with the proper support, you can really have success, whatever success means for you.
The goals of every breastfeeding mom are different. And what we as lactation consultants want to do is help support what their breastfeeding goal is. We oftentimes have moms that come in and say, I'm only going to breastfeed my baby for the 6 weeks that I'm home, let's say, on leave from work. And if you go back to work, I'm going to stop. And, you know, we're just here to support them and help them reach their goal. And then amazingly enough, sometimes when we present other options to them that, well, yes, you could be the working parent, but this is what you can do, A, B, C, and D, to continue to provide a very good source of nutrition for your baby, your breast milk, they're like, oh, okay, you know, and this can work even after that. And that, I think, is always very rewarding for myself as a lactation consultant to know that, you know, we help them to meet what their goal was and then maybe even continue on. And that's what makes our job so special.
Awesome. We've been talking with Sarah Muller-Robbins and Laura Kelly with JFK University Medical Center and their Women and Children's Services. Lots going on there. To learn more, you can log on to jfkmc.org/services/maternity. Laura and Sarah, thank you so much for your time today. And thank you for the work that you do. I'm sure it's much appreciated among all the new moms that you've helped.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for having us.
Thank you, Raquel. It was nice to speak with you today. Thank you again.